What's up, guys? It's Shannon, and it's really hard to believe that it's already the holiday season. It is time to start making your list, checking it twice, and figuring out what you're going to get everyone on there. And I've got an idea for you. How about some Brooklinen sheets? We all sleep. We all want to feel amazing while we're in our beds, and Brooklinen sheets will give this to you. They've got that luxury feel without the hefty price. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and now it's time for your upgrade, or for you to give an upgrade to somebody in your life. Brooklinen.com is offering $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Shannon at checkout, and they're so confident in their sheets, towels, and comforters that they even offer a lifetime guarantee. A lifetime can be a long time, so that's a lot of confidence. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to enter the promo code Shannon at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code Shannon. You will be giving the gift that keeps on giving for a lifetime. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey, Deontay.
Hey, Shannon.
Oh, I've got to apologize. I just wasted like 5 minutes of your life trying to figure out how to use this recording stuff again.
Well, you know, my time is very, very limited, so I would like for you to return those 5 minutes to me.
I absolutely would if I could. I don't know. It's been such a long time since we've been in this room.
I know, it has.
I couldn't tell you how to set this stuff up if my life depended on it, so I'm so sorry.
No problem.
I wanted to tell you about a Facebook message that I got about our last podcast that we recorded.
Okay.
Just in case you don't remember, it's the one with the relationship advice I came up with while driving alone in my car.
Yes.
And I got a message from somebody. I didn't pull it up, so I know you know who you are. I'm sorry I'm not saying your name. But it said something like, I thought your relationship advice podcast was great, !! or something. And so I said, hey, thank you. We appreciate you listening. And then she said, yeah, I agreed with like 90% of what you said. Now, you know me.
You're obsessing over the 10% that she did not agree 100, with.
Yes, I am. I had to sit on my hands.
Because you wanted to know exactly which part
I did.
She disagreed with.
Because I think that my stuff is right. And you should agree with 100% of it. 90% is still an A. Now, I will give myself that. But it's not 100.
Oh my gosh. And I don't know how you function day to day.
I don't either sometimes. It really has consumed me because this conversation happened, I think, last Monday, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a few days, and
yeah,
it's still bugging me because I can't figure out what she possibly could have disagreed with.
What?
Like, what was so bad that she couldn't give me that extra 10% and just say, I agreed with the whole thing, Shannon. You're awesome. You should have been married.
This is a PSA for anyone who would like to give feedback on our podcast. Just tell Shannon everything was great.
Well, no, I mean, I appreciate the fact that maybe somebody is crazy enough to think that I'm not completely right. But because I strongly disagree with that opinion, I don't, it just.
But here's the thing, even if she had told you the 10%, then you'd be obsessing over.
What could I have done differently?
Yes.
Why?
So regardless of what the specific feedback was, you'd still be obsessing over it.
And here's the thing. I don't know this person that sent me the message. So I don't know. She could be a New York Times bestselling author with all kinds of relationship books in her past. I don't know. And maybe the 10% that she disagrees with on my end is the 10% that makes her so successful in her book writing. I don't know, but thanks a lot, lady. I don't pay attention to the 90% you agreed with. For me, it's the 10% you didn't, and I'm going to go back and figure out what it was.
See, boys and girls, this is what I had to put up with for 6 very long years.
It wasn't that bad, though. I mean, I think when you were working here and we were working in the same room all the time, I was just a hot mess who didn't really care about much other than the party that night.
Well, that's true.
I mean, not all 6 years.
I mean, you had your moments, though.
Yeah, I mean, I did. That's a given. It's kind of who I am, I guess. There's a reason why Kid wanted me on the radio.
This is true.
And that's because there's a lot about me that's much different than anybody else you're ever going to meet.
I just showed my boobie.
Yeah, there was that. And here's something. This is a loaded question, and I'm sorry to ask you this, but I have to because it's been bothering me a lot. Do you think that my legs are fat or muscular? And I ask this because I've been putting on my jeans from last year, and they fit me fine in the waist, but my thighs, they're tight, and it's uncomfortable, and I can't decide if I'm fat or muscular.
I think you're muscular.
And I don't want to go to the gym and get my BMI done because
then you'll obsess over that.
I think that they're wrong. And yeah, number two, regardless of what number they come with, I'm going to find something wrong with it again, because that's what I do. I keep thinking back to like a month ago, maybe a little bit more, when an intern that works here, I was wearing shorts, and she's like, your legs, oh my gosh, I want them. And then somebody else said, yeah, you've got really great legs. And I can't help but wonder, like, they wouldn't say that if I was a jiggling mess.
Right.
Unless they know that I have issues and they just wanted to send me a compliment so I wouldn't obsess about my jiggly legs. So what is it? Am I fat or am I muscular?
I'm going to give you a little bit of advice that Dr. Phil used to say.
Okay.
You wouldn't worry so much what people think of you if you knew. What is it?
I don't know. I'm going to just stop you right there and say that it's not about what they think what's going on with my legs so much. It's me trying to use their input to decide what's actually going on with my body. Because I legit do not know. Are my jeans tight in my thighs because I've been working in a pool pretty much nonstop for the year? Or am I just fat?
You're not fat.
Okay, well, thank you. So it's muscle.
It's muscle.
Okay, we'll go with that. And with that, with the short...
I remember.
What? Okay, go ahead.
You wouldn't worry so much about what people think of you if you knew how seldom they did.
That's not true, though.
It is true.
People think of me all the time. If they didn't think of me, why would they be messaging me on Facebook and stuff? So I have to disagree with Dr. Phil's theory that people don't think of me.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Phil. I mean, I know you have a PhD and all of that. But
I am the exception to Dr. Phil's rule, right?
Apparently.
And I think it's really been bothering me because tomorrow, actually, we're leaving for Kids.
Oh, wow. Tomorrow?
And, yeah, tomorrow. And in Florida, I mean, it's not going to be as warm as it usually is.
Oh.
I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's shorts weather. I mean, you get sweaty and sunburned and it's hot. And so I'm going to have to break out the same shorts that I was wearing when the intern said she wants my legs. And I'm thinking, am I fat? Should I wear? Oh, it's a mess. I'm a disaster.
Think of all the people at Disney World that are going to want your legs.
That's what I'm going to think about. And then I'm going to take a poll.
You should. You totally should.
Do you want my legs? Is it out of pity or out of envy? Pity or envy? Anyway, that's what's on my brain.
Okay.
Okay, so I went to visit with my aunt and uncle a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they live kind of far-ish in the middle of the country. They have horses.
Ooh.
Where most people might have a dog.
Uh-huh.
And like right there in their yard, and cows. I'm pretty sure the cows were in heat because they were doing this really guttural moo.
Ooh.
I tried to record it, but it didn't come out very good, which was really disappointing because I wanted to show the world what a cow in heat sounds like.
That is a sound I think I could go my whole life without ever hearing.
It's really interesting to me. But we were inside the house talking about nothing, and out of nowhere, my Uncle Philip says, Shannon, you should run for office. And I'm like, okay, how about this? If you will fund my campaign,
right,
I will run a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not cheap, from what I've heard.
No, not at all. Even local campaigns cost a lot of money.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what will be happening. I'm not going to go run for president.
No, I'm saying no, but in your head, what you know of campaigns, the amounts that people raise are exorbitant. So what I'm saying is, even at a local level, you still have to raise a lot
of
money.
But honestly, though, what are they raising all the money for? I mean, signs?
Mostly. Yeah. Those signs are expensive.
I would just make them by hand. Start planning. If you make 10 signs a day, that's a lot of signs if you plan far enough ahead, right?
Yes. But they have to be waterproof and weatherproof.
Just Scotch guard them.
It's not.
A can of Scotch Guard probably would cover at least 50 signs, I'd imagine, right?
Can you Scotch Guard poster board?
That's something I'm willing to figure out with my political campaign. So anyway, that's what I said. And it's kind of funny because I, like when I was in high school and I was the big speech and debate team nerd, I thought that eventually I wanted to get into politics. Mm-hmm. That was something that I legitimately wanted to do. I don't know what motivated that thought, but it was something that I figured maybe once I was a little bit older, I would actually do. And now that I'm out of high school and doing other stuff, I think politics is probably the last thing I want to do.
Probably.
But let's humor the idea.
Okay.
Because now that my uncle said I should do it,
it's somewhere in my head,
it's clicking in my head. Like, if he sees it, and if I thought about it when I was in high school, maybe there's something there.
Could be.
So I started jotting down my political platform, my stances on things.
Okay.
The changes that I would want to make in my community if I was elected in a political office.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Now, I'm thinking probably mayor.
Okay. Mayor of a city. I can get with that.
Yeah, because I don't have a law degree, so I can't probably be a judge.
No.
I mean, maybe. I don't know the rules on that.
Pretty sure you have to have a law degree.
Okay. And I couldn't be, I mean, could I be governor?
Sure.
You don't have to have a law degree to be governor.
No.
Huh. I could be governor. Anyway, let's keep it small. Mayor. Here's some of the stuff that I would run on if I were trying to be mayor of my city, which is Coppell, Texas. Just agree with me, okay?
Okay.
No, don't do that, because then what's the point of this? These are in no order of significance, just so you know. They're just in the order that they came into my mind, and I already can't make eye contact with you because I know that you're going to give me that side. You're going to tilt your head to the side, and you're just going to be like, what? And you're probably going to rub your head a lot, like I'm giving you a headache again. So I'm just going to look the other way.
I love how well you know me.
Okay. I would require that I get local TV time whenever I had fun video ideas and stuff. I mean, I think that I should use my political platform to entertain the people that would be under my leadership, and I want to make them laugh.
Is that like a local cable access channel?
No, that's like all the major news networks. And while most people are on there debating or talking about the issues, we get enough of that in a political campaign era. I want to change it up a little bit. I want to make parody videos. I want to do parody songs, parody music videos. That would be amazing. I want to do fun things that no other political person has ever done.
So maybe what you need is your own show.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I'm not paying for it. I need somebody to give it to me because I'm going to be a political figure.
Okay.
Secondly, I would obviously need a cool celebrity backer, but I want it to be my choice of celebrity.
Someone like Kelly Clarkson?
Well, maybe, but I was noticing last week when it was election day that Beyonce had a bunch of Beto, how do you say it? Beto?
Beto.
Beto? I'm trying to make it all Hispanic. Beto. She had on his hat. I'm like, that's so cool. If he can get Beyonce, who could I get? Because I actually meet these singer people.
True.
And some of them I've helped kind of boost their career a little bit, like Justin Bieber.
Right.
And Alessia Cara.
There you go.
I mean, I was kind of instrumental in getting them on the radio. So I feel like they should give me their support.
Okay.
And neither one of them would acknowledge it or would recognize me in a room full of people, which, whatever. And Alessia Cara is Canadian, so is Justin Bieber, so never mind. I can't have Canadians backing me, can I? That doesn't make sense.
I mean, you can, but I don't know how helpful it will be.
So, yes, Kelly Clarkson, let's just go with that.
Okay.
One thing I want in my city is no statues of homeless people on benches around the community. Now, I told you, I still pass by that thing to get Jake from school, and it still bugs the crap out of me, because why? Why would anybody spend money on that? I don't get it.
I don't think they're necessarily statues of homeless people.
It was homeless Jesus. I swear to God, it's homeless Jesus.
I'm going to need you to take a picture.
So I did on my Instagram. It's homeless Jesus. And somebody else posted that it's homeless. Hold on, look. Let me show you this picture.
Homeless
because,
Jesus.
Yes, it is homeless Jesus. At least that's what they said.
I think that's kind of an oxymoron.
Oh, is it?
I mean, can you really consider Jesus homeless when he's everywhere?
Okay, here it is.
Homeless.
A picture of the statue on the bench.
Oh, that. Okay, so that is a statue of a homeless person on a bench.
It's homeless Jesus, I'm telling you. And it bothers me. And you know why? I think it bothers me a lot because I've been trying to go to church. The Catholic church in the neighborhood. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to actually see some of the stuff. But yesterday's church service was all about poor people giving more than rich people, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Tithing.
Right.
I mean, they passed that basket around twice now.
Really?
Yes.
And every mass?
Well, I think so.
Usually if they pass it around a second time, it's for like a special collection. So sometimes it's for a specific order or priest retirement, or it's usually something specific like that.
Oh, well, maybe they just did it the one time and that as a result, I think it's every time.
That was the time
but,
you were there.
I mean, the whole mass was about giving and spending your money wisely. And so I go to this other church across town and I see homeless Jesus on the bench. And I can't help but ask myself, how much of their tithing money did they spend on homeless Jesus on the bench? And why? I mean, it gets me talking, obviously. It gets me thinking, why would they do that? But I can think of many better uses for people's money than putting homeless Jesus on a bench.
Maybe somebody donated the statue of homeless Jesus.
I need to go up to homeless Jesus and search for a dedication plaque.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do that.
There has to be a reason.
I'm hoping there's a reason, because it's really eating up a lot of my brain space. And I even took a picture on Instagram to show people this thing that's legitimately, that it bothers me, don't it, a lot. So, under my political campaign, no homeless statues on benches in my city.
Okay, I like it.
I mean, is that reasonable?
That's reasonable. I can get down with that.
Okay, this might be a little bit outside of my doability. I know that's not a word, but I would fire Chris Collinsworth from calling any football games that I might be watching. I do not like Chris Collinsworth. Let me just put that out there. I've posted about it on Facebook before. This is the first time that I'm ever saying it out loud for more than myself to hear. I do not like Chris Collinsworth, and I don't understand why he's still working.
Well, I think there's something to putting that out in the universe.
Fire him. He's rich enough that he'd be fine. I mean, come on. He's playing golf with the president, allegedly. I don't buy that for a second, though. I think that President Bush probably played with that Al guy, Al Michaels, but I don't think that he's going to waste his time on Chris Collinsworth. I don't understand how he can be so negative Nelly when it comes to the Cowboys. Like, he obviously does not like the Cowboys. Obviously.
That's true.
Shut your face.
He should just call somebody else's game.
That's why I'm going to be mayor and say he's not allowed to call Cowboys games anymore, because they're honestly the only games that I watch.
Right.
So no more Chris Collinsworth on Cowboys games.
Okay.
That's fair if I'm mayor.
I agree.
Okay. I think you're really going to like the next one. I would put together a citizen-run branch of traffic enforcement to target left-lane drivers going too slow.
I love it.
Because it's an epidemic.
I love it.
And I don't think we need to waste real police officers' time with that necessarily. So let's just put together a citizen branch.
I agree. I would like to be the chairperson of that committee.
Move to my city.
Oh, that might be problematic.
Okay. I'm going to wrap up my political stances because I think I'm losing you. But I would screen and hire nannies to tend busy public restroom spaces so that moms or aunts such as myself who have to go potty in a public place can do so without their four-year-old nephew ducking down to watch them squat. And maybe they don't have to hold their other nephew in the carrier on their front side while they're squatting and telling their four-year-old nephew to go look at the wall again. I don't understand how moms are able to go potty in public with kids, especially more than one kid, because I have legitimately gotten really good at squatting while holding a 20-pound baby on my front side in the carrier. And Jake legit, I'll tell him, okay, you stand right over here. And I can't leave him out. Somebody might take him, so I have to bring him in with me. And I'm like, okay, turn around. And I start doing my business. I squat so that I don't have to do like the toilet paper cover or the toilet seat cover thing. And that little boy will turn around, tiptoe over and squat to watch me pee. And I'm like, Jake, what are you doing? He's like, I watch you pee. I feel dirty. And I feel wrong, but there's nothing that I can do. I can't not pee. I can't leave him outside. I can't like grab him and turn him to go back into the corner because then I'll end up peeing down my leg. You can't just stop midstream to discipline a child.
No, you can't.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? I think that this is really something that restaurants or busy places with a lot of restroom business should think about.
I think there is something to this. I think, though, what might be better is just a couch where kids can sit and wait.
A playpen where they can't leave, maybe.
Maybe.
And but, kids are not just going to sit on the couch.
Well, I think most kids can sit for like a minute. I mean, how long does it take you to pee?
Not that long.
And I don't think most kids who are of the age that they would run away can open the bathroom doors.
But even so, even if, I mean, if that's what I'm going to do is just sit them on a couch, then I can just stand them up against the wall while I'm going to the bathroom. That defeats the purpose of somebody's going to take my nephew while I'm peeing, so he's still got to come in with me.
Nobody's going to take your nephew. There's a door between you.
A door? Are we talking about a couch inside the stall?
No.
Or outside the stall?
Outside the stall.
Why would we do that, though?
So you could have the kids sit down on the...
But why waste the money? I think we're just going to disagree on this bathroom thing, Deontay. I think we should just have nanny attendants in the bathroom to keep track of the kids so mom can or aunt can pee in peace.
Oh, I think I just don't go.
Okay. My last one, I think. Oh, wait, I have two more really, really good ones, so I can't cut one of them out. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I would have someone at local hospitals there trying to talk parents out of naming their babies stupid names. Like Booger.
Who names her kid?
I don't know, but there's a football guy named Booger.
Yeah, there is.
Or Hataska. Or something like that. Why would you name your child either of those things unless there's some deep, dark meaning behind it? Don't do it. And maybe they just need somebody there, some kind of third party that is very unopinionated as to why they're doing it, to tell them this is stupid.
But who gets to be the barometer for that?
My person that I'm putting in the hospital.
But what if the name isn't really stupid? What if it's just a name that person doesn't like?
I would only hire the best name decision person ever for this job. But I think it's important because I don't think parents realize that their kid has to live with that for the rest of their lives. So what might be cute for a day or two, they've got to live with for at least, 60 years maybe? Hopefully.
I need people to get down with the nickname.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Name your kid a real name and then call them Itasca.
Okay. Okay, I like that.
Maybe this is what we do. On the birth certificate, you have official name, legal name, and then you have nicknames.
Okay.
Because people are real weird about that. So they'll say, I have friends who have named their children Matthew, and they don't want anyone to shorten it to Matt. Mm-hmm. Or they have kids and they name them Christopher, and they don't want to shorten it to Chris. So they don't want their children to be called anything other than their name, but if you put down an official nickname,
got it.
It solves that problem.
That's genius.
There you go.
I would hire you for that job.
Hey, I would love that job.
Okay, here's my last one, and I know you're thinking, thank goodness. I would have videos of myself playing at every stoplight.
Is there a reason for that?
Yes.
Or just
that way people are forced to watch my videos and see what I think they need to hear or hear. And see me saying what I think that they need to be aware of. So even if it's just a quick little, hey, don't text and drive, and then they're off, then fine. But it keeps them focused on the road. It keeps them focused on the red light ahead. And even better, they get to see me.
It sounds cost prohibitive.
Huh?
I think it's going to be really expensive. I don't think that the taxpayers from your city are going to approve that.
That's why I need a small city without very many stoplights. So maybe I'm going to need to move to a rural city
where there's only one or two
stoplights. Yeah. But still, I mean, I think I need to really reach and be a part of their daily lives so they know and respect me and give me, you know, what are the support that I need to keep the job.
Encouraging messages from the mayor.
No, just like, don't text and drive. Hey, It's raining. Hopefully you got your umbrella. If not, make sure you park with someplace that's got a roof over it.
Good message.
Maybe that's not my best thought. But I like the idea.
Okay, let's roll with it.
And I will only refer to people as constituents. Nobody's got a name. Everybody's constituent.
Can they at least be constituent last name? You know, like in the church, and they refer to Sister Hall and Brother Johnson.
Why make people feel like individuals that way? Constituent. Hi, constituent. Hi, constituent. I couldn't say that many times, especially if I had like a drink. Oh, that's a fun game.
Let me know how the campaign turns out.
Well, like I said, I need my uncle to fund it. And so far, he's made no commitment. Now, he did say that he would write a jingle for me.
Oh, okay.
But that's not money.
No.
So, come on, Uncle Philip.
Step up your game.
See you later, alligator.
Guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Goodbye.